Welcome to Sensibly Cynical. My name is Sean, and with me yet again is the one and the only Frank Jag. What's up, Frank?
Today we're talking about an over-need for people. People in today's world, sometimes they lead to making themselves very unhappy because they over-rationalize things.
Everything's got to be on a strict schedule. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And someone actually said this to me recently. I was telling them my feelings, and they were saying, I think your problem is you're not following your heart because you're trying to look for rational reasoning
right
behind to justify your feeling. That's the thing. Sometimes I think in today's world, you know, people, you know, they move far away from everything they know. They start over because they rationally think.
Well,
and
yeah.
Individualism is big in America because people are all about me, me, me. And people think, you see people that they move in with their significant others and they think, well, the house is in their name. Why would I do that? I'm paying towards their mortgage. They don't think about, this could be our future. This could be my future spouse. They're thinking, I'm benefiting this person. If it doesn't work out, I'm screwed. They're over-rationalizing.
Well, you got to think about there's business involved too, Frank. You know, money and...
There is. But in a certain... In business,
you know,
you have to be... Sometimes rationality in business hurts you.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you have to be irrational sometimes and think outside the
box. I hear you, Frank.
Because that without irrationality, when Google went public in, 2004, I believe, at 80,000 shares, people said... Companies like this don't last. Search engines don't last. And what happens? They thought outside the box. They went public. They thought
Pornhub
outside the box,
became available.
And look at them now.
Pornhub became available, you know.
Right. And somebody had to think outside the box and be a little irrational at some point to make that happen. Sometimes we get too caught up, though, in the numbers.
No, I agree.
Now, being over irrational isn't good either, you know. I had a buddy who had a boyfriend who said every story with Frank Sanders starts with, well, I was bored and then I did. And I've done some stupid things that I don't want to talk about. But I'm saying, the point of the matter is, you can't be overly irrational either. Because that could have a negative effect even worse on you. So good balance is needed. But
No, I definitely agree. I mean, you make some valid points.
People do.
Now I'm going to spin this. Kind of have a question for you, Frank. This seems like your kind of cup of tea, for lack of a better word. What do you think about people that jump into relationships on a whim? Because I know people on both sides about a couple situations, you know, with social media and stuff. You know, I had a friend that met somebody on one of the apps, like a family friend, Frank. And she moved in with this guy, like she was in Florida, and she moved in with this guy from like Mississippi, or I don't want to get it wrong. Probably like 3 weeks. No, in like 3 weeks, and they're still together. And then I had the opposite side where this girl in Richmond moved in with this guy like after 2 months and they're not together anymore. So what do you think about that? Do you think just read the situation or...
The beautiful thing about humanity and the thing about the world is...
Relationships,
you know? Is everyone is different.
So what's your thoughts on all that?
So you can't just put a rational formula on everything and this is how it works. So a lot of times, you know, there are people that, you know, they rush into a relationship, it doesn't work, and it doesn't work for them because they're maybe more, it doesn't fit, they're wired. And other people rush into things, and it does fit how they're wired, and it works. I mean...
Well, people can't be alone, and, you know...
You got people, yeah, that'll stay with someone that, that they're got good for because they don't want to be alone or this or that. Or there's other people that, if I meet someone that they are good for, and they don't want to take that step to be with them because... They have all these barriers, these rational barriers that hold them up.
Yeah.
And, people think sometimes, you know, you have people that have been gay and have been married with kids, you know, and because people of this rational ascension of life.
Right.
And they think, I need to do this, then I need to do this, then I need to do this, then I need to, and like a checkbox.
Well, they have it.
Like a checkbox.
That's why they make planners and, you know. People write shit down.
Right.
You know, I'm starting to do that where I just like write notes, you know, to remind me of stuff instead of, you know, I like how people have things like they have to be this part at this time. At 9:30, I got this at, you know, it's just like chill out. You know, people are too structured.
Sometimes people need structure. Some people are very wild. There's some people that can't drink.
Yeah.
Because if they do, they lose that structure and they go down the rabbit hole.
Right.
I mean, some people need structure. Some people, structure doesn't suit them well. And they're miserable. But life isn't one checkbox, you know, you do this, then you do that, then you do this. You know, life is an up and down roller coaster, and people go through certain parts of their lives at different points. Some people have, you know, it's like the stock market. It goes up and
it goes down.
It goes up and goes down. And that's how life is. So sometimes people are...
Kind of like one of the Kardashians. Up and down.
Up and down, up and down.
Well, all of them.
If we were just lucky to be on the receiving end of that. But the point of the matter is, you know, you could be in rehab while your one buddy's, you know, a successful stockbroker, yeah. And then you could become a successful something while they're in rehab. I mean, things don't go the same way, you know, they go up and down, up and down. And people gotta realize that. Yeah. You gotta live life according to what's good for you, not what's good for other people, not to a checklist. And that's another thing. People sometimes mistakenly put their rationality based on what they see in the media and based on what they see in other things. Like, oh, this is what they say, this must be rational. Or this is a popular opinion, this must be the rational opinion.
Right.
And that's why I personally have a lot of respect for people that go against the grain. Because anyone can see, oh, this is the popular opinion, and get on board with it.
Right.
And get on board with it. And that's... That doesn't take any individuality, that doesn't take anything, that just takes no thinking to just follow people blindly. Mm-hmm. But to actually make a cognitive thought and follow your own thoughts, that's beautiful, because that's someone reflecting themselves. But again...
Using their creativity and being original on things, too.
Right, right.
Not just being a sheep.
Sometimes that comes across as irrational. If you look at the current president, for instance, he does things very irrational and against the grain, but he does it on purpose because he knows that's how you get results, that's how you make deals. And people don't like it because people
being crazy on Twitter and...
Right, and people don't like it because they're used to a certain thing, what they've come to believe is the rational norm, and because it's different, they're outraged. So,
back to irrationality, though.
It's about some people are comfortable with the... with the status quo, and other people need to shake it up a lot.
All right, so what do you think, like, the impact social media has on all this?
Social media, every idiot, including myself, can say whatever
like
the
we said
they
last,
feel
like. Like we said last, you know, in previous episodes, you know, you like the last one, you know, you, like when I said, people can sit behind the computer and talk shit.
They want. And the thing about the internet is things are there forever.
I think people forget about that. People forget about that. You say you type one thing and press enter, and this delete button is, for lack of a better word, superficial. The data is there forever, people.
Sometimes.
You type something. No, I mean sometimes.
The government, every time they're trying to get files from government computers, the computer shut down and they can
never find
them.
You tweet something online or whatever and press enter. That shit's still on there. Shit you did on MySpace. Just because MySpace went down doesn't mean all that shit you posted on MySpace isn't still around.
Yeah, I can't even find my MySpace.
It's still around.
If someone could find it,
it's still around.
Goddamn, they deserve to find stuff about
it. No, MySpace is still around. They just formatted to just music. You know what's still around now? Timberlake invested.
He also owns the Grizzlies. That's a good investment, too.
You know, but back to... irrationality. What do you think about that though? Like with people moving across the country or moving large, far distances, like with their family, like because they don't like the area, or do you think they should just do that for personal, like job reasons?
I think if you want to,
if you don't like the area, then some people move because they don't like the area.
That's an irrational thought, but.
No, it's true.
But
there's
the
some
same,
people
but
that
the
like
same
quit
time,
their job because
the same,
they don't like the area.
Right, but at the same time. As irrational as that seems, you know, it's good for your mental health. It's good for you to be in a place that you're happy. You know, and
then you also gotta think about your family and...
Right.
You know, a lot of single people move a lot, you know.
Right, and then there's also people get into this rational idea of it's rational to get a good paying job with a big company.
Good benefits.
Because it's safe, it's secure. And sometimes it's irrational, people think, to start your own company and take a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's right. I think some people are different. Some people are comfortable with comfort. Some people like taking risks.
Right.
To each their own. But I think to be over irrational is ridiculous. I think you need to be somewhere in
perfect
the middle.
Perfect balance, kind
of. Right.
And that's hard to gauge, though, you know.
It's almost impossible.
With stocks, too, financially, and, you know, investing.
in you know about
that.
Investing.
So what about that? What about the impact on being irrational about stocks? You know, people pull in and out of the market.
This thing now, there's this thing now called behavioral finance. I mean, I guess it's already always been there, but it's a big thing now because, you know, I guess it's just so much easier to invest. And for instance, you used to technical analysis used to be good because you could go based on this stock makes money, the stock doesn't make money. Look at Amazon. No one says that Amazon is not a great company. They have 33% of the market share.
What
they are, but their price, they're not worth $2,000 a share.
You're a stock
because
guy,
of their price to equity, their PE ratios are too high. They irrationally just love the company, so they're gonna keep pouring money in it, and it's gonna keep going up. And that's irrational, but it works. Because you had enough irrational people.
Yeah, you're the stock guy. So what do you think about people making irrational stock choices, irrational investing?
Well, you know, there's goods and bads. So people do it and they make money. People do it and they lose their shirts. Because now there's things called derivatives. Mm-hmm. Where basically you're essentially betting the stock is going to go down, or you're betting the stock's going to go up.
Sure.
And you could lose a lot more money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's irrational, but it's a quick buck. And everyone wants to get rich quick. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
What goes into rational, rational investing? Like doing your research on the last... How many days do you go back and research a particular stock? Like you see their last month or fluctuations?
It doesn't matter because stocks are going to move up and down.
They're going to fluctuate, but...
I just bought a stock. The PE ratios are good. The finances
are good.
You don't
look at the history
of it? But it goes up 2%. It goes down 2% every day on no news.
You don't...
I mean, day-to-day stocks are going to go up and down. You don't know.
But you don't look at the history?
You do want to know if it's an established company. But, I mean, stocks can go under any time. Look at the WorldCom scandals, look at the Enron scandals. And
can't forget about the Enron.
I mean, people aren't going to pay attention to that. But sometimes people get this idea, like with housing, the housing market, for instance. People irrationally will keep buying houses until they can't afford them and the market collapses because they irrationally think, I'll buy it. I own an asset. It'll go up forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not how it works. Eventually it gets too expensive. No one can afford it, and it goes down.
Right.
So people irrationally keep buying in the housing market thinking it'll go up forever. Rationally, you know, it's a market. And markets go down. They go up and down. You just gotta get the right side.
You gotta get the right side.
What is your obsession with the freaking Kardashians?
Alright, no, but seriously, I agree with what you're saying.
Obsession with the Kardashians?
No, I just think it's funny, you know, Kim, and they always have that fucking show that it seems like it's like 20 seasons, and...
You know, people say the Kardashians...
It's an irrational show.
You know...
To society.
Things people say that the Kardashians are stupid and this and that.
They're irrational people.
Just like they say the things about the Trump. People don't realize some of these people do the things they do because they know people are going to give a flying shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to make money off it.
Yeah.
I mean, she developed an app? She looked like an
IT girl. Yeah, but she got banged by Ray J. I mean...
Listen.
You know?
Listen. I think any rational person would think...
And it was on a sex tape.
Any rational person knows that if you could have got that money and that fame by fucking Ray J, even guy or girl would do it.
You know?
I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I'm not saying it's okay, but I'm saying... Yeah, she did it, and people would say that's irrational.
And it got taped.
But what? Her mom leaked it to the media, and it brought so many millions to the family. So much money to the family.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of weird that her mother leaks a sex tape, but that's weird.
They all swing that way, you know?
They're all cashing in.
But back to the
original
thought.
But most people would say that's not rational to release it, to just shame your family.
Yeah.
But she did it, blah, 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 and
they still got new shows coming out. They're making
millions of dollars. She negotiates life sentences for nonviolent criminals with the president.
Oh, really?
She was sleeping with Ray J, 20 years ago? And now she's in the Oval Office negotiating deals with the president. There's a certain evil today.
Let's switch the subject. What else do you want to talk about for the episode? Is there anything else you want to hit on?
I want to kind of group it all together into a point of, yes, let's talk about irrationality in sports. First off, let's talk about this jackass, what's his name? Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell, yeah.
Who turns down $14 million because he wants a long-term deal. Dude, 20,
But no, I wish when I was 26. You gotta understand his point of view though. Last couple of years, you know, they gave him that mandatory deal, and where it's like $14 million
okay
cap, and he wants his big contract that every other running back gets. He's tired of being played by the system, or it's a cop out deal by the Steelers. We can't get a deal done, so let's give him this 1 year $14 million set salary. And he has to take it, otherwise he becomes... Now he's actually taking a stand with his agent, and, you know...
But he doesn't deserve a long-term deal.
He has record numbers.
But he only...
He has durability that we haven't seen since, like, Barry Sanders.
Durability, my butt. He only plays 76% of the games because...
Yeah, but I'm talking about the carries. The amount of carries he gets... It's like 400, and I don't know the number, but it's like 400 and something.
But he's not taking hits like other running backs are because
yeah,
the,
but he's getting 30 because
there's not that many people in the box anymore because you got these deep receiver threats. I'm calling it irrational though because he's not worth the money. He's sitting out on
his team.
What's
he supposed to do? He hasn't gotten his deal yet.
He doesn't deserve a deal because he's always getting suspended because he can't stop smoking pot. Once he stops doing that and shows he can
he's
be an adult,
you know,
they'll pay him.
See, hold on. Here's where I'm gonna disagree. The difference is the position he plays. It's less life expectancy or life. There's less life, quality life at the running back position than other positions. You can't run the ball at like 35, but you can sure as hell play safety like Rod Woodson did, you know, at 35.
You can run the ball at 35.
No. I think I saw something a couple years ago when they said like the oldest running back in the league was like 32. I mean, that's ridiculous. And you know, Le'Veon Bell has to be what, 28 right now, 26. Right? 26.
But
so he's looking to get his $5 million, 5-year deal. He's gonna be out of the league in a couple years, okay, bro.
But think of this from the Steelers' standpoint: is you're good while you're here, you produce well, but I can't keep you out of jail to get you in the office. Why would I?
They'll cut him soon.
They can't trust him, and I think it's irrational for him to pass up $800,000 a game by sitting out,
right,
because he can't get a deal that he doesn't deserve.
Right. Well, what else you want to talk about when it comes to sports and irrationality? You want to talk about how Odell Beckham banked? You think that was irrational? Obviously, you're a Giants fan, so you're gonna think that was a rational decision. But
I think it was irrational to sign a receiver
that much money.
I would not have given him that big deal. Just like I wouldn't have given Le'Veon Bell deal.
Because you told me that was overpaid on text.
I think it's irrational to give Odell Beckham that money because he hurts the team on the field with
his
penalties,
his behavior.
And I'm sorry, but I would rather have a guy that doesn't play that well than a guy that's a distraction.
Right.
I would never give him the money.
Okay. What about other, like, rational, irrational... sports topics you want to talk about? What about the basketball contracts these guys are getting? I mean, what was it, that guy for Dallas that got like $80 million and he averaged like 8 points a game? Barnes? I mean, it's not just football, you know?
Right, but the thing about football with these monster contracts that they're giving people is viewership from the NFL is going down. So they're paying people more money. They're keeping them safer so they can play longer and make more money longer.
Right.
And their viewership's going down because it's not a fun sport to watch anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So really, the NFL is irrational. It was irrational to re-sign Roger Goodell.
And the NBA? You know, with Silver and everything?
Irrational. The NBA is completely irrational. They need to go in there. They need to block some of these stupid trades that they used to block. They don't block anymore. These super teams.
Yeah, Stern used to block trades and shit. From Chris Paul trying to get to LA.
The original super team in Boston, okay. But these super teams are getting crazy when you have
Miami,
all-star, when you have five all-stars
in
your backups. Your backups can make the all-star team. You got a problem here. It's kind of weird. I mean, there's irrationality in sports all around. I mean, the Kaepernick thing. I mean, you could go talk on irrationality. Mm-hmm. Now that was rational. That was very rational by making Colin Kaepernick the face because
the Nike,
right.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because that was the big news story.
Well,
so
there's a certain demographic that buys a lot of Nike.
Yeah, sure.
Because of a Michael Jordan shoe.
Uh-huh.
So really, by doing that, they really just empowered the people that buy their stuff.
Right.
How many Jordans do you own? at $180 a shoe.
I don't own any Jordans.
That's the thing. You know, they're appealing to the people that buy, their stuff.
I never got.
So I mean, it was
I got his jersey. Yeah. His old jersey. I still got hit, but from the day.
But I mean, it's rational for them to do that because they appeared to where their money comes from. Just like when they said the thing about what was it? The Chick-fil-A. Was it Chick-fil-A when he said he didn't like gay guys?
Yeah.
And they said business go up. They go,
it's 2018. You can't say shit like that.
But the thing about it is his sales went up. People were like, well, why didn't they go down? He said he didn't like gay people. Because gay people don't go to Chick-fil-A. It's the same thing, you know. The amount of people that, you know, don't fit the demographic that follow Kevin Kaepernick, right? I mean, that Colin Kaepernick, right? The demographic that don't follow him. Really don't wear buying a lot of Nike.
Well, the ones that are burning his jerseys.
Yeah, they don't buy. Yeah, they don't buy a lot of.
Are throwing away the Nike stuff.
Well, I'm just saying they don't buy a lot of Nike. Too much Nike. So really, Nike isn't going to lose too much share from that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Under Armour, because Nike used to be the thing back in the day till Under Armour. Then after Under Armour, people stopped buying Nike.
Really. I want to talk about other, like, it's not just sports and everything. Movies, all these budgets for movies are ridiculous. Because a lot of the movies, they get high budgets, and then the gross margin doesn't come. It's not just sports, movies get too high budgets. In music, there's irrational thinking of overdoing one genre of music, covers and stuff. And I just think that with music, there's too many covers, way too many covers. In movies, it's too many sequels. People are copying out. Well, I can't do something, so let's just do what we did. That seems like in life, too, in general. People just want to redo the history over and over again. You know what I mean? So instead, it goes back to what you were saying about creativity. People are afraid to do something new. It'll just go back to what worked.
But that's rational thinking of why kill a horse that isn't dead? But by doing that, you kill the horse by not breeding it and making new horses.
Budget.
So, I mean, you can write an idea. Look at the Fast and the Furious. How long did you write that? Look at the Halloween movies.
How many
movies.
Is that now? Eight or nine?
Eight movies. Look at Halloween. I think there was eight or ten. I mean, there's some ideas that work. But
The Saw movies? They were up to, I think they're done finally, but I think they were eight or something.
I think people need to take more of, I think more rational way of remaking movies. And is the thing that you see a lot now with TV shows? Spinoffs.
Yeah, spin-offs.
Spin-offs are money. They're money, because then you get the show, right?
Well, Big Bang Theory is ending, so I wonder what...
They did a spin-off.
Huh?
Young Sheldon.
No, but it's ending, though. You know that, right?
But they did a spin-off already.
Yeah, so I wonder if they'll do another one.
It's possible. They did it with Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. They're trying to do it with Supernatural and the Westward Sisters or something like that. Mm-hmm. The Wayward Sisters, but... they did it with Vampire Diaries, the originals, and now they're doing another one, the Dynasty. Legacies. But the thing about it is, by doing that, you get the same fans, right? And you don't break a horse that isn't... You don't kill a horse by putting too much load on it, by making it walk extra a long time.
Uh-huh.
You actually take the backstory and you move it into a new show, so you keep the same fans to watch a new production, and then it allows you to breed that horse into little ponies and expand it for people to continue to watch.
Here's the only medium, it seems like we've been talking about this a lot lately, but the only medium that lends and durability is game shows and reality TV. Those seem to go longer than any other medium, really, in the world. I mean, Survivor, what is it? Are they up to 38 now?
But
not just Survivor, but Big Brother's up to something, How long has Jeopardy been around? Wheel of Fortune? Which person is retiring? Is it Trebek or is it the other guy?
This might come to a surprise, but I'm not too up in my world of fortune.
One of the guys is retiring. I mean, would you agree that some of the game shows are high too?
They are. That's the thing. Sometimes,
The Daily Show is new. It's got a new host. I mean, there's things that keep going.
Right, but I mean, that's the thing you got to go with. Rational versus irrational. You might say it's irrational to continue the same thing. You might say it's rational to continue the same thing.
It's all about ratings.
Sometimes you just don't know.
Ratings.
And that's why you need a balance of rational and irrational, because it doesn't always work the same way for everything.
Yeah.
And you need more tricks. You can't be a one-trick pony. or else you're going to go along. People say, you know, no one ever got rich working a 9-to-5, but you take your money, you invest it, and you let it grow for yourself.
What my dude 50 Cent say? Get rich or die trying?
Right, but you can't just do the rational thing of go to work, go home, go to work, go home, because then you're never gonna be rich. But if you take your money that you make from your job and you invest it to grow for yourself, then you have an opportunity. But you have to step outside that box. You have to step outside your comfort zone. You have to do the research, and you have to put your money in a place where it can grow for you. But if you just want to do the rational 9-to-5, 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 you'll never get rich. You'll never get rich because your money's not growing for you.
Exponentially, and it's during 401ks or, you know,
your IRAs, your 401ks,
a vendor plan, you know, whatever, you know.
So you wanted to talk about boredom.
Okay.
So I figured I would open up this part of the show to you talking about boredom.
I've been single for quite a while, like 2 or so years.
I don't believe it.
And, you know, people are like, oh, well, I have to be with somebody. I have to be with somebody. That's a bunch of horse shit. You don't have to be with somebody. You just are afraid to be sitting in your apartment and hanging out and having a beer sometimes by yourself. You have to have that person, that physical person. That's why there's a lot of stuff you can do by yourself, you know? Like Frank likes to go to the beach and look at all the pretty people at the beach by himself.
I read a book.
You know?
I was reading a book.
People need to learn. It's 2018, so I understand it. People want to be cool. They want to, you know, all these friends, they share shit on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Hell, it's the only way really to get known anymore is being on. People ask you, you know, it used to be about your number. Now it's you have Facebook or whatever. What's your Instagram? And the bottom line is social media has created a culture where your people are afraid to be alone. And in turn, that has manufactured itself into relationships with people. It's not just dating. You know, your friends, you're in like a group email or a group text, and all your friends are like, yeah, we're going to this. Well, you may be working, or you may not be able to make it due to a bunch of reasons. You know, but you feel like you're out of it, you know? And I just think I'm tired of people not embracing, I guess it has some sort of insecurity. People are insecure about themselves. It's like there's nothing wrong with watching a movie or reading a book by yourself. And people, this cop out of continuing a bad relationship or continuing being in a group of friends that make fun of you, or if you get abused, it's, oh, well, yeah, that happens, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and I want to be with somebody just to be with somebody. It's like, no, you be with somebody because they make you better, not just they take some of your time. It's like you should learn how to spend your time more wisely by yourself, or spend more time with your family, who are, when it comes to the end, they're the ones with you. There's nothing wrong with being bored every once in a while. You know, drink coffee, you know, do whatever. But I'm just really tired of that shit. So there. The continuation of last week.
So,
do you agree or disagree?
Some people have.
You're not gonna answer my question. Do you agree with what I said or disagree? Be honest. I don't care.
Can you let me talk?
Yeah, go ahead.
Some people have self-confidence issues and they need the reaffirmation.
Oh, come on!
That they're worthwhile by other people.
That's why you have your mom or someone just
so
hit up.
I think that's partly they need to find within them who they are as a person
to move forward.
So I agree with you that I do think people do
I think
that
that's
out
a cop
of,
out.
I agree with you that I think people do it out of boredom to a certain extent, and
they're afraid to be alone. That's what it is.
Yeah, and I think that people
like try it every once in a while. That's why there's other forms of entertainment.
Like
besides hitting somebody up to go to a movie or something, you know, or
yeah, or you know, you could work out, or you could.
It's nice to be alone every once in a while.
I don't know about that.
It is.
I don't know.
Every once in a while, did you hear what I said?
Sometimes I read a book and I sit here and I'm like, I
who
don't know what
hey,
these
who
words
are you
on
with?
Picture.
You were alone. A book is an inanimate object, Frank. You know what that means? Inanimate.
Yes, I know what that means.
Okay, so you technically you were alone.
I was
physically.
I was alone.
And you're okay with that? Because I know that's not the first time you've done that.
I don't care.
So, why are you disagreeing with what I'm saying? It's okay
I'm
to be alone.
I'm not disagreeing
everyone's
with you. I said I agree with you.
You said I don't know about that.
I said I don't enjoy being alone all the time. I'd rather
sometimes
have
you should enjoy it, though. You should embrace it.
Well, sometimes you do enjoy it. But I think I enjoy being around people.
Cup of coffee, you know.
I say I'd enjoy being around people about 70% of the time and being alone 30% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, when you're alone 70% of the time, sometimes it can take a toll on you.
Mm-hmm. No, there's times that I wish I was, you know.
I mean, I've been single
somebody,
6 years. I mean, I don't really care.
So we're just two single guys doing a podcast.
Sometimes, being single, especially when you are sometimes where you... When you fall off that wagon, sometimes it's good to take some time to work on yourself. I don't think you need to take half a decade.
Right.
But, sometimes, you know, it's good because you become a stronger person. And if you do ever find someone, and you learn to be alone and be okay with being alone, when you find that person, you add them because they add to your life, not because you need something to hold on to, but because they add to your life.
Right.
Because you're perfectly okay with being alone, and then you just... You take them on as something that makes your life better.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I mean
that's what so I think that's important.
It is, you're right. So that's just what I think, you know, about the whole boredom thing. I think there's a inner peace, you know. You become peaceful sometimes. Just kicking back used to be back in the day before technology, you know, that's why old people, you know, people made fun of them, but old people would get the Times, you know, every day and sit at their table and read the Times and have a cup of Joe, you know, or hell, even have a whiskey at night. I mean, the bottom line is all the people, you know, 2018 make fun of older generations for some of the stuff they did. But if you really think and read up on how older generations, like how their entertainment and activities, how they did that stuff, it was kind of more like peaceful because they didn't have this internet thing, so they could, I guess, collect their thoughts more before they make irrational decisions. To tie it back up, you know.
Right, and part of being
there's no technology where you gotta like, who's hit me up on Twitter? Who's hit me up on Snapchat? You know, and you could enjoy yourself. Car.
You know. To have a better balance of irrational and rational thoughts.
Have
a healthy balance of it, you do need to be alone a certain amount of time to collect your actual thoughts and organize
right.
them. I don't think if you're always around people, you never get your individuality. And without being without your strong individuality, sometimes without at least a bit of it, sometimes it makes it harder.
Mm-hmm.
To get into a bond with somebody and be a strong bond if you're not strong individually.
All right, well, let's continue this boring thing, and let's talk about some boring sports. What do you think some boring sports are? Sports that make you fall asleep.
Boxing.
Pool. What do you think about pool being boring? I like playing it. I'm a boxing fan, so I'm gonna ignore what you said. But
boxing has too many rules. Not unlike UFC or MMA, where it's actual fighting, boxing is just.
And we're talking
punching.
About watching on TV, right?
Boxing,
so.
Yeah, boxing is too many rules. You only certain zones you can hit, and it's just too. It's too.
What football's
it's
turned
too,
into that?
It's too similar to be fighting, and I don't like football the way direction it's gone now. I don't like football the way it's gone.
Pool is boring watching on TV. You just see, you know, sometimes they'll have the tour on ESPN2 and.
That
you know, it's kind of neat sometimes they'll show, like, you know, it's kind of math equations, you know, where the ball, you know, hit off the angles. I mean, but it is really boring watching on TV. Like, that's one of the most boring sports. Also, if you ever see, you know, cricket, I mean, sometimes ESPN will have cricket on. And, you know, it's kind of a derivative of baseball. You know, where they got the... I don't know if you've ever seen a cricket game, Frank. But...
No, I like women.
The Frank... The fence is about really, like, really, really, really short. And these guys, they have to go... They can hop over. Unlike in basketball, they can, like, hop over and, like, grab the ball or something. It's, like, super boring. the watch, you know, because the paddle, it's not really a baseball bat. It's like a, you know, it's a paddle, you know. So it's, that's also another boring game. What else?
Luge. No, not luge. I was saying, I meant sweeping. What's it called?
Curling?
Curling. It's stupid.
Curling's awesome. You know, you take the stone and you try to, and your buddy during the Olympics.
And you sweep.
You know, you take the stone and you gotta, there's an art to kicking the other stone out of the circle.
I don't want to watch a sport that reminds me of doing chores.
You know what I'm saying? You kick them out of this circle and...
I don't like it.
What else?
Greco-Roman wrestling is very
okay,
boring.
Explain why you think that's boring, Frank.
Because it's all upper body throws. It's not a lot of... You can't touch your legs and everything, and it kind of reminds me of just hugging.
I mean, yeah, but there's an art to it. You don't like things
There's an art to it. I'm not saying it's a boring sport to do. I'm saying it's a boring sport to watch.
Okay. I would say...
Baseball.
Well, yeah, baseball is a given. Let's talk about... Yeah, so what's so boring about baseball? You
it
know,
doesn't
innings
move.
Innings and...
They stop serving alcohol in the seventh inning. How are you supposed to get through the other two innings?
Yeah, the commissioner has come out, Manfred, and, you know, has come out lately, and he understands why people fall asleep. No one wants to go to the baseball game anymore. It's, you know, no one... Families aren't going as much, you know?
I mean... You go to a baseball game usually. You go hang out in the bar and watch the game. You don't actually want to watch the game.
Sometimes they'll go. People go with families and.
But it's just not. It's not a fun experience. I mean, what other sport? What other job could you have where you're successful 30% of the time and that be good?
Yeah, that's actually a really good average. 300.
They you know? Exactly. You get you're successful 300.
Even 250 isn't terrible.
Right. That's pretty bad. But you get
no. It's not terrible.
You're successful 30% of the time.
And you're an all-star.
We pay you $10 million or something, right?
Yeah, if you hit 300...
$10 million to be successful 30% of the time.
Yeah, if you hit... If you
that just makes me angry.
If you hit...
I don't want to watch that.
You know, if you hit 300 and get like 30 or 40 homers and 40 steals, I mean...
The first person in the Hall of Fame. Do you know the first person in the Hall of Fame was?
Who?
Ty Cobb. His lifetime batting average was .365. First person in the Hall of Fame... First person in the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. And he's successful 37% of the time. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's like a Democrat. It's like the Democrats must have started it because it's a game based on mediocrity. Mm-hmm. It champions mediocrity. Who the hell wants to watch a game about mediocrity? There's no success. It's mediocrity.
Yeah.
At best.
Yeah.
It's painful to watch. It's slow.
Probably like this podcast. Painful to listen to.
Probably.
All right. Well, I think that's time for our sensible and cynical thoughts. Frank, you can go first. What are you going to go? Sensible or
my
cynical?
My cynical thought is that people get too caught up in the noise, the outside noise of the world, and they let that lead them to making... quick, rational, or irrational decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people need to let... I think that's bad, and I think that's bad for your mental health, and I think that's bad for society, and I think that's bad for everyone involved. I think that people need to start shutting out the noise and listening to their inner heart before making a decision.
Okay, I'm going to go sensible. I think this was a good idea for a podcast, and I like how we... You know, we get to talk about how people, you know, they do stuff on a whim. Sometimes that can be like a breath of fresh air, like making a rational decision to move, making a rational decision to change careers because you're not happy, you know, with the relationships you have with the boss or whatever. It may be irrational because I've seen, you know, I've looked online and there's people that, you know, the main rule about quitting your job is... always have another job in line before you quit. And there's a lot of examples of the contrary. People that quit their job without having a backup plan and that being successful. So I like, you know, the ideas here of, you know, comparing irrationality and rationality. It was a good idea and, you know, Frank, you hit up on some good points. So that's my sensible thought for the episode. Anything else you want to talk about?
I can't think of anything to crack.
Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. And take care.